ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Now we'll try to take advantage of hearing from His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and His Holiness Kesha Bharti Maharaj. But one of the secrets given in the Vedas for doing that is called Upanishad, which means to sit up close. If there's a gap in between, you might miss something. And the other one is to lower your shoulder so you can listen in very carefully. So anyone who'd like to get the full benefit, move up to as close as you can, please feel free to fill all these gaps.
Hare Krishna. I've been commissioned by Giriraj Maharaj to speak first. Could I see the verse again, please, on the screen? Thank you. Ananya Chetak Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityashaha Tasyaham Su Labak Partha Jayuktasya Yoginaha. English? Yeah. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada's purport covers everything, and it's very difficult to speak after you hear Srila Prabhupada give a purport on a verse. This last 2 years, I've made a vow to read out loud Srila Prabhupada's books, 41 pages a day, every day. And recently I took it public, so I'm reading it in public. And now that I've been reading Prabhupada's words out loud in public so much every day, it's very difficult for me to speak, because whatever I speak sounds shallow compared to what Srila Prabhupada speaks. But what came to my mind immediately when I heard this verse was the profundity of this process of serving Krishna. In other words, here, Krishna is saying directly that if you just remember me, Krishna says, then you will be engaged in devotional service. Just remembering is devotional service. Hearing about Krishna is devotional service. Sometimes we have this, Maharaj touched on the point that, you know, there's a dichotomy between service and hearing and chanting. But actually, hearing and chanting is service. And not only is it service, but it's the service that empowers all the other services. I mentioned this letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Satsvarup Maharaj. Being a pujari is a very intimate service. As a matter of fact, in 1966, when the Radha Damodar book distribution party went to Vrindavan, one of the devotees, when everyone was around Prabhupada, they said, "Srila Prabhupada, what is the most intimate service to Krishna?" And everyone was expecting him to say book distribution, and they were just waiting, anticipating, so we could go, rah! And Prabhupada said, "Pujari." So the letter that Prabhupada wrote to Satsvarup Maharaj was very telling, therefore, that even if a person's dressing Krishna, which is a very intimate service, if the person is not hearing and chanting sufficiently, they will not be able to remember Krishna properly when dressing the deities. And he said that that dressing will be as if they are dressing dolls. So when we hear and remember, you can't remember without hearing. This is the process. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam. So implicitly, Krishna is saying here that after hearing and chanting about me, you will be able to remember without deviation. And because of this process, you'll easily attain me because of your constant in devotional service. And then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates, it means constantly, it means regularly, it means every day. So it can mean any one of those things depending on where we are situated in our devotional life, how much we have attained a full absorption. But this is the secret to constant engagement in devotional service. In the 18th chapter, in the 57th verse, there is a statement in the purport where Srila Prabhupada says, whatever we do, if we can think, I have been appointed to do this by Krishna. And implied in that is, so let me do it very nicely. He doesn't say it directly, but that's what it means. If you know you're doing something for Krishna, how nicely will you want to do it? See? So this was matpara. The word in the verse is matpara. And Prabhupada is indicating here that if you preface anything that you do, whether you be at work trying to serve your boss or at home trying to please your wife or husband, kids, or whatever, and you think like this, this is remembrance. You know, I have been appointed to do this by Krishna. So let me do it very nicely. This opens the door to constant devotional service. Sometimes, especially, you know, householders who are trying to maintain their children and their establishment, their grihastha ashram, and all the rest, they say, we don't have any time to do devotional service. We're you know, it's so, especially in America, sometimes people have to work two or three jobs just to make ends meet now, with prices going up and wages staying the same. Except if you're a CEO of a really big company, then you're okay. Certain percentage, 1% or something, they say. But this is the fact. The fact is, if you remember Krishna, if every day you hear and chant about Krishna according to your capacity, as Vaisheshika Prabhu so nicely directed us to do, for even a few minutes, then it is magic. It is spiritual magic. And the verse says that your success is guaranteed because of your constant engagement in devotional service. Because hearing about Krishna is addictive. Why is it addictive? Because Krishna is all attractive. The word, the name means all attractive. So if you associate with the all attractive, you're going to be attracted by nature. So then we want to become addicted. Everyone's addicted to something. So we just can dovetail our addiction to Krishna by beginning with remembering, hearing, chanting, and remembering every day for some time. Make a vow. Even if you think, well, I don't have very much time. So just make a vow to hear and chant the number of minutes or hours that you can do and still maintain everything else, without giving up anything else. But make a vow, and don't go beyond that. Because of this secret that Krishna is all attractive, and, well, open secret, you'll become addicted in a very positive way. Rather than an addiction causing you to become degraded, this addiction will cause you to be elevated in how you deal with others, elevated in the efficiency that you'll be able to do in all realms of your life. And eventually you'll be able to see through the veil of material nature. You'll be able to see through the fact that whatever you do in this material world, is the results are temporary. And your spiritual intelligence will be awakened, and you'll want permanent pleasure. We're all seeking pleasure. Seekers. This is, we're all trying to be happy. No one, you know, gets out his diary in the morning and says, today I would like to run my car into a tree, and then after that my wife will leave me, and then after that I'll lose my job, and after that I'll become homeless. Does anyone make an agenda like that? No, of course not. Of course not. Everyone makes an agenda so that they'll be happy. Because this is our nature. By nature, we're happy. By nature, we want to be happy all the time, because by nature, we are happy all the time in the spiritual world. This is the benefit of constant devotional service, as mentioned in this verse, that will come simply from remembering Krishna. How difficult is that? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let's all say that. Hare Krishna. How difficult is that? No, just start with Hare Krishna, even not the whole full mantra. Just Hare Krishna. How difficult is that? Anybody can do it. And anybody who hears about this and doesn't do it, well, what can I say? Foolish. Foolish. So this is the secret. You can be constantly engaged in devotional service simply by remembering Krishna. Because by that process, gradually, everything that you do will be a meditation. This is perfect. Everybody's thinking, oh, I have to meditate, so I have to find a place. I have to sit like this. Everybody has to be quiet. Don't disturb me. Then clear my mind. Well, that's impossible. Have you ever tried it? Impossible. But Krishna conscious meditation, which means constantly remembering Krishna, can be done all the time, anytime. There's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna, for remembering Krishna, for hearing about Krishna. It's a win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win-win. You'll be winning all the time. Constant winning. Constant devotional service. And your life will become perfect. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhav.
We have moved in this discussion from Shravanam, hearing, to Smaranam. And as our esteemed speaker rightly said, first comes Shravanam and Kirtanam, and then naturally Smaranam will follow. There's a very important verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but it is also quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. And in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada makes two points that are very complementary. He says that in order to always remember Krishna, one must chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra per day. And he says that of all of the spiritual master's instructions, the instruction to chant a minimum of 16 rounds per day is most essential. But then he also says that in the Krishna consciousness movement, there are various activities, such as enrolling life members, distributing books, and in those activities also, one remembers Krishna. So they are not ordinary activities. Especially as Keshava Bharti Das Goswami Maharaj was speaking about people who are married and have responsibilities, have to work in the material world. Our godbrother Ambarish Das, Alfred Ford, who's the great grandson of Henry Ford, came to Bombay with Srila Prabhupada. He was dressed as a brahmachari and rendering menial service. But before leaving Bombay, he met Srila Prabhupada to discuss his future life. And at that time, almost all of the devotees were fully engaged in devotional service. I mean, even the married couples were also fully engaged. They were living practically like brahmacharis and brahmacharinis. But in the case of Ambarish Das, Srila Prabhupada wanted him to work because he wanted people to see that someone could be a Hare Krishna devotee and at the same time have responsible duties in the material world. So Ambarish Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada, first he asked, do I have to work in the four company? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, you can do any work. It doesn't have to be in the Ford Motor Company. And then Ambarish asked, well, if I'm working, what will be my association? And Srila Prabhupada replied, while you're working, if you're thinking I'm doing this for Krishna, that will be your association. And it was just like Keshava Bharati Maharaj quoted, that whatever we do, we should think that we are appointed to do this work by Krishna. And that is remembering Krishna. Naturally, that is remembering Krishna. Now there's another question. What does it mean to remember Krishna? I mean, the primary definition of Krishna is given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Because the definition of pure devotional service is anukulyena Krishna anushilanam, that it's in relation to Krishna, a continuous cultivation in relation to Krishna. So what does Krishna mean? So Srila Rupa Goswami explained, our acharyas explained, that Krishna includes Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, his expansions, like Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. It includes his name, his forms, his qualities, his pastimes, and his pure devotees. So always remembering Krishna includes all of those, includes his service. So if we can always think of Krishna as someone in one of those five relationships with Krishna, would always think of him, that is wonderful. But we shouldn't think, oh, if I can't think of Krishna in that form, that we're lost. Because Krishna includes these various other manifestations of Krishna. And thinking of them also counts as thinking of Krishna. Now, once Tamal Krishna Goswami asked a very interesting question of Srila Prabhupada. Again, this was, in the earlier days in India, although practically all the days in India were extremely busy with Srila Prabhupada. He asked Srila Prabhupada that, "I'm so busily engaged in your service, what if by chance death comes and I'm just thinking of serving you and I'm not thinking of Krishna? And what happened to me?" And Srila Prabhupada replied that that Lord Chaitanya will forcibly enter your mind and make you think of him. So this is the sort of like the descending process. We engage fully in devotional service, in consciousness of Krishna, in consciousness that we're working for Krishna or Krishna's devotees, and we depend on their mercy. Vaisheshika Prabhu said so beautifully. It's really up to us to make the effort, but it's Krishna's mercy that completes the process. And we have that example in Damodar Lila, that when Mother Yashoda was trying to bind Krishna, her rope was always 2 inches too short, or 2 fingers too short. But eventually, Krishna saw her intense labor. He took compassion on her and allowed her to bind him. And so the Sanskrit mentions 2 ashram, which means hard labor, and Krishna Kripa, which means Krishna's mercy. So our acharyas explain that Krishna can be bound by the combination of our hard labor, parishram, and Krishna's mercy, Krishna Kripa. And so what is within our control is our efforts, our hard labor, and we should do those. And then at the same time, pray for Krishna's mercy. If we just work hard and think everything depends on us, that's wrong. But if we also do nothing and just pray for Krishna to be merciful, that's also not complete. We need the combination of our efforts and Krishna's mercy to bind Krishna in our consciousness. And that will include remembering Krishna at the time of death. And as we've heard many times, and sometimes there are shocking examples, that death can come at any moment. So if we have that consciousness, then it's very easy to fix the mind on Krishna. Because if we think this could be the last moment, and it could be, and naturally we will think of Krishna. The wonderful devotee from Mauritius named Madhava, who leads kirtan, once another devotee, Bhakti Bringa Govinda Swami, asked him that you can sit for hours just singing the same tune with complete rapt attention. What do you think while you're singing that allows you to chant? And Madhava Prabhu replied, I'm thinking that each mantra that I'm chanting is the last one I will ever chant. And so if we chant in that mood or do any mood, then naturally we will remember Krishna. And one mantra will be the last, you know, one service will be the last. And so always serving in that mood, we will remember, think of Krishna and remember Krishna. But I also read in a book called Hitopadesh that for liberation, it's good to think that you could die at any moment. But for economic development, it's good to think you'll never die. So we have a sort of paradoxical situation in ISKCON in the sense that we could die at any moment and we should be conscious of that. But we also have our family business. And so in that sense, it resembles economic development. Of course, it's not for economic development in the sense, but it is for creating something like a business, but a transcendental business. And so for that, it's not helpful to think that I could die the next moment. It's helpful to think that, although I could die at any moment, while I'm in this body, I want to do what I can, you know, for the mission, for people. And so the two should be balanced. And Srila Prabhupada actually showed that balance, because he was very conscious, you know, as it is, he was quite elderly and he had heart attacks on the way to America. And so he was quite conscious that he could leave at any moment. But at the same time, you know, he did whatever he could for the movement. And he even commented once in Bombay like that he had, you know, he had done whatever he could. It's like he had walked through fire to spread this movement. So when we think of Srila Prabhupada's example, what he did for us ultimately, you know, crossing the ocean at such an advanced age, enduring heart attacks on the way, in so many ways for us. But he was always thinking of Krishna, thinking of his Guru Maharaj, the order of his Guru Maharaj. And so we are in that line, in that family, and we're blessed with that lineage, you know. We're blessed with that opportunity, and we're also blessed with the responsibility to follow in their footsteps. And fortunately, we have each other to support us. That really makes it a huge difference. And it's like we had the verse, then we had Prabhupada's purport, then Keshavardi Maharaj's purport on Prabhupada's purport, then Giriraj Swami's purport on Keshavardi Maharaj's purport on Prabhupada's purport, and all of you will have your purports to add. And it's unlimited, and it's blissful, and it's remembering Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One of the phrases that struck me in reading the purport was bhakti added. It was in the purport, ananya cheta satatam yom smarati nitya saha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yukta se yoginaha. In the purport, Prabhupada uses the word bhakti added. And it's in context with, the context is that there are many other yoga systems that one can practice. And it reminded me when he said that, the bhakti added, and that's what makes the other ones valid, actually, when there's bhakti added. So it reminds me of times when I've taken medicine. You get a bottle of medicine, like some, I don't know, Advil or something like that. If you look at the label or look at the ingredients, they have active ingredients and they have other ingredients. And the list of other ingredients is usually quite long. It goes like 20 things. Paraben and methylprobine, acetylethylene, etc., etc. It goes on and on, the list, 20 things. But there's one active ingredient. This is what actually makes thing work. The rest just sort of is fluff. And in a similar way, the Shastras talk about how even in the qualities of a devotee, there are various qualities, multiple qualities listed by the acharyas. Say they're clean and expert, and poetical and so forth. But there's one active ingredient amongst all those qualities, one quality that surpasses all others, and that's Krishna Sharanam. That it means that the devotee is surrendered to Krishna. That's their main intention in life, is to surrender to Krishna. And the attitude of such a devotee is epitomized in this idea. First, I'll give some context. There's a way in which people oftentimes go around and they sample various spiritual groups. For instance, nowadays on meetup.com, there are a lot of spiritual groups you can go and visit. So sometimes people, they'll come and visit a Krishna group, and they'll say, oh, Krishna is one of the processes, or the, you know, Krishna is a thing. It's a thing, a spiritual thing. But those who develop this surrender to Krishna in their heart, they're very fortunate people. They develop the attitude that Krishna is the thing. It's not a thing, it's the thing. There's one thing, it's Krishna. And this is actually what the definition of faith is. And it's given in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahi Sudra Danishchay Krishna Bhakti Koila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. That this emerging attitude, deep felt, that only Krishna is the active ingredient in my life, that just by concentrating on Krishna, giving my mind to Krishna, giving my energy to Krishna, giving my money to Krishna, then all other things will be completed. In the same way, if you water the root, then all the branches and leaves are taken care of simultaneously. And to develop this rare attribute of surrender to Krishna within the heart is something that may seem insignificant, but all the shastras say this is the main point. Coming to this point is what is called perfection, perfection in devotional service. It reminded me also, is I'm reading the 10th canto right now, and in the 10th canto there's description of the devotees in Vrindavan and how they simply depend on Krishna. They don't know or don't resort to philosophy much. There's apparently very simple devotees. But the Bhagavatam emphasizes over and over again, whenever there's danger, whenever there's a decision to be made, they just depend on Krishna. And they give Krishna all the attention. When there was a forest fire, they immediately call out to Krishna. When there's a dangerous demon who enters in Vrindavan, they first thing, Krishna, please save us. And these devotees who have this spontaneous nature to simply take shelter of Krishna are described as the most evolved spiritually of all the different kinds of spiritual practitioners. A verse that's given in the 10th canto, itam satam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam katanam daivatena mayashitanam nardarakena sakam vrijaru krita punya punjaha. Shukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj that there's some spiritualists who focus on the impersonal aspect of Krishna. And this is Brahma Jyoti, is effulgence. And there's others who are attracted to reverential service. They live in Vaikuntha. There's some who live in the material world who don't know who Krishna is at all, except they think he's an ordinary person. They just think he's like everybody else. But he said, those who have evolved to the highest spiritual position, sakamvrija rukrita punya punjaha, their life and soul is Krishna. They play with Krishna as equals, and they're fully dependent on Krishna at every second of the day, the eternal time, the eternal days that go on in Goloka Vrindavan, just thinking and meditating on Krishna. So Krishna brings us in the Bhagavad Gita to this point of the active ingredient, and he mentions many other different kinds of yoga practice in this verse, but then says, for this highest attainment, the devotees who just depend on me and just think of me and surrender unto me attain everything. They get everything by using the active ingredient. And now we'll take some reflections. Anything you heard from the verse or the purport or any of the monologues that took place so far that stuck in your mind? Simple points that you're taking away with you.
Hare Krishna, my question is to Kesha Bharti Das Goswami and Maharaj. I really liked it. It was such a beautiful thought that if we think that Krishna has appointed me for this service, we will do it very nicely. I'm definitely going to try to implement. My question was that as I'm progressing in my spiritual life, I'm realizing that I discussed with my cousin God sisters and God sisters that do they feel the same, that when I serve either in the kitchen or when I serve Krishna, there's never a feeling of satisfaction. It's always like, I could have done better. I didn't do better. I could have done even more. I missed this. Or things like that. Is that okay? And will there ever be a stage of satisfaction?
Not only is it okay, but it's exalted to be in anxiety. That one time Srila Prabhupada was asked the question, here we have an encyclopedic memory, who probably knows it was and when it happened. But anyway, I just know the vagaries. Srila Prabhupada was asked, how do I know if I'm making advancement? And Prabhupada's response was, how much anxiety are you in? Because a devotee naturally wants to do the best for Krishna in all ways, and being very tiny, each one of us is very tiny, our capacity is limited, to say the least. So it's not possible. But Krishna, he's so merciful that when someone is just in a little anxiety to do whatever they're doing, to remember him, to do it nicely, to please him, then he becomes attracted. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada used to quote him that we should not try to see Krishna exactly. We should try to act in such a way as to come and see us. Because that's the only way you're going to see Krishna. You can't make Krishna, you know, appear to speak by anything that you do, actually, really. So he's looking for that attitude. He's looking for that anxiety, transcendental anxiety. What is the difference between spiritual anxiety and material anxiety, you might ask? Well, material anxiety causes you to forget Krishna, and you become absorbed in material energy in one way or another. Spiritual anxiety is the medium by which we will go to Krishna, remember Krishna more and serve Krishna more and want to do better in Krishna service. That's very pleasing to Krishna, spiritual anxiety. Ananya chet, what is that? There's another verse that starts almost the same as the one we were quoting. Ananya, ananya chintam, ye janak prayupasate, tesham nitya bayuktanam, yoga kshemam pahamyaham. So if we're in spiritual anxiety to the point where ananya, our service is constant, depending on our level of advancement, it may be every day, steady every day. It may be, you know, a big percentage of it. It may be constant. All those can be defined as ananya, depending on our level of advancement. And Krishna says he likes that so much, that yoga kshema vahamyaham, he says, I will make up for what they lack, and I will preserve what they have. That is Krishna's attentiveness. Krishna is completely attentive and caring, loving. Why else would he come with us wherever we go? He's in our hearts, in the material world, and he goes with us wherever we go. Whatever body you have, you may take the body of a hog or a monkey or whatever. Krishna's right there. And, you know, he's witnessing to everything. And always, always waiting, always willing, always attentive. Just a little attention to him. And he, Prabhupada used to say, you know, we have only two hands. Krishna has unlimited hands. And therefore, if he wants to take away something from you, there's no way that you can prevent it. And he wants to give you something, there's no way you can take everything that he wants to give you. So the essence of it is that Krishna is very easy to please. The essence of these verses. So and then what, as Giriraj Maharaj hinted at, and also Vaish Sityaga Prabhu said earlier in the talks earlier in the day, a practice makes perfect. You have to practice. Even if you don't feel it, you act like you feel it, Prabhupada said. One time, when Garga Muni first came to the temple in 26th Second Avenue, he walked in and everybody was sitting and waiting for Prabhupada to come in. And Prabhupada came in and everybody bowed down, except for Garga Muni. He looked like a flagpole, you know, in a garden full of, you know, flowers. So Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "You're not going to bow down?" And Garga Muni said, "I don't feel like bowing down." Prabhupada said, "Well, maybe if you bow down, you'll feel like bowing down." So then he bowed down, and he said after that, "From that time on, I felt like bowing down." So this is the issue. The issue is, we want to please Krishna. We want to please Krishna's pure devotees. Because if we do that, then their hearts are so full of love, and their hearts are so compassionate and so soft, that they will, and they have the power. Krishna has the power to give you everything. I heard Gopi Puranananda Prabhu give a lecture the other day when I was listening, not physically, but through the tape. And he was analyzing. Gopi was a brilliant scholar and a brilliant devotee. And he was saying, so when we offer something to Krishna here in this material world, say we're rolling chapatis, but what is the ingredient? The chapati, the atar and water, and there may be some little critter inside there. Very, very common, especially in India. Anywhere. And you're smashing the critter inside the chapati, and you can't even see, you don't even know what's going on, and you offer to Krishna. But in the spiritual world, unlimited numbers of goddesses of fortune who are rolling chapatis out of pure spiritual energy, you know? And so it's so much more elevated, so much more pleasing. What can we offer Krishna here? What can we do here that we can't do in the spiritual world? And he came to the conclusion, there's two things you can do. You can kill demons, because in the spiritual world there's no demons. Or you can preach. You can share. You can give Krishna consciousness to others. And therefore, in the 18th chapter of the Gita, Lachatasvan Manusheshu, Kaschin Me, Priyakritama, Krishna says, anyone who does that is so pleasing to me, there's no one as pleasing to me as that. Practice. And when we're doing that, our anxiety increases. But it's not material anxiety, it's spiritual anxiety, because it facilitates the remembrance of Krishna. Something? Okay. Hare Krishna.
Reflections, those things you heard that stuck in your mind from the reading or the conversation. Yes.
I felt very grateful. Thank you to you all for your wonderful talks. I would like to share one reflection of the talk, some points. From Kesha Bharati Maharaj's morning class, I liked very much in prayers. You mentioned in other words, unless we come out of the bodily concept, we cannot attain Krishna. So that meaning of one prayer that you explained was very eye-opening to me. And Giriraj Maharaj mentioned the service attitude should be that this could be the last service or last chant of Krishna's name. So that was very deep, and I experienced that in Sadhu Sangha this year when I heard Madhava Prabhuji, and non-stop he was singing one tune with such high taste that was marvelous. And I heard him in one of the interviews, he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj used to say that kirtan should be performed only and only for pleasure of Krishna. So he said, I think that when I sing those dhuns non-stop. So thank you for sharing that. And Vaisheshika Maharaj also shared a beautiful point that I like, that complete surrender to Krishna is the topmost, and that's the key. So I seek blessings to implement those and be there at some point. Thank you for sharing great secrets.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. reflections. Anything you heard so far can be small that stuck in your mind.
So I remember that in this material world, everybody is addicted to something. So we should be addicted to hearing and chanting about Krishna. Mm. That is one thing. And I remember the added ingredient. In one of the Sunday classes, you were comparing different yoga system and Krishna consciousness. And you were saying that the purpose of all yoga system is to focus the mind. But Krishna consciousness is something, because you love Krishna, you will focus your mind to Krishna. That's why it is the best of yoga system. Because love is the best yoga. Love for Krishna and devotion to Krishna is the best yoga. This is the ingredient.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. One point, the verse that we are reading, Bhavasadhi, in which in the translation it is mentioned that like the downside and the upside. Downside is that until unless people are not free to glorify the material things, and that's what happened, like everyone has their favorite team, everyone has their favorite hero or favorite this. Until unless that's not gone, replaced with the activity of Krishna or hearing about Krishna, and that's what is the purpose that we are broadcasting, we are distributing books so people get the chance to replace the same activity, that bhavasthi can't go. So that verse was very, repeating today was again enlightening to reinforce the idea that yes, that's the real real medicine is to get more Krishna katha.
Do you have someone online? Question? Reflections online? Go ahead. She needs a mic.
Gaurav Prabhu shared some shlokas, like how the holy name like really works, even like who you are, like even the like committing suicide, like killing oneself, Pashugna. So he was referring to that verse of Sanketyam Parihasyam, that verse, like even if you do a gesture, the holy name works. And there is also one more devotee who in the Pashugna category, he was saying that how the holy name works, that I think you asked the question where how unknowingly chanting the holy name one became a devotee. He says that the current president of Central New Jersey became a devotee by eating ISKCON sweets.
Chai. Who made that comment?
He didn't give the name though.
Okay, didn't give the name. All right.
And Kuladri Prabhu was joining chat today. Kuladri Das.
Kuladri Prabhu.
He's joining chat today. And I had my realization how if you want to recite prayers, especially Bhagavatam prayers, are very long.
You mean he joined chat permanently? Like he now?
Yeah, yes. Right? No. Wow. After you announced.
That's a big deal. Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Thank you.
You were saying one last thing.
Yeah, my realization was how nicely Maharaj was reciting the entire Brahma prayers this morning. And it became easy in the association of devotees. And the person who says it, also the potency comes, because when we try to do devotional service by ourselves, it becomes very difficult, like even saying prayers. But the same put in the association of devotees, it's really very pleasing, and impossible becomes possible. So I was so happy that I could hear those prayers today. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you. That's reflections.
Taking it public. How to do it. And then as soon as I took it public, everything started.
Now you're not public because you're still speaking on the line. Sorry.
Hare Krishna. Sorry. I've got such a loud mouth, I think I don't need a microphone. Hare Krishna. So, you know, I really appreciate that, what you just said, because I have a realization that after I took my vow of chanting a certain number of verses or pages out loud, then I decided to take it public. because it was so nice. I just said, I've got to share this with devotees. You know, this is so nice. And as soon as I started taking it public, it was like magic. Devotees started, you know, doing it themselves. They came up to me and they said their whole life had changed. I was just in Denver, and there were three or four new devotees that just started coming to the Sunday feast, and they were just, you know, and they came forward after 1 month of hearing Bhagavatam every day. They came forward and wanted to become initiated. So it really is magic to hear Prabhupada's translations of the verses and his purports for a time, for a solid period of time, and then reflect afterwards.
And I didn't start reading it aloud. Could you please explain that?
Because,
can you repeat the question?
The question is, why did I start repeating it out loud? Why did I transpose reading into out loud? Well, I mean, I've always liked to recite out loud. Vaichasika Prabhu and I have been doing this since 1973, you know. But what I've realized in the last couple of years is, when you vibrate the sound of a pure devotee, Prabhupada's an absolutely pure devotee, another category of devotee, and if you vibrate that sound with your own tongue, and it enters your own ear, it has a mystic potency to it, you know. The sound is the same as him. So I began to think, I want to not necessarily cultivate information content. I wanted to cultivate the association of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna and all of his eternal associates and expansions and whatever. And so in that moment, when I read it out loud, first of all, other people can hear. Even if there's nobody else in the room, when I began, I just read it out loud, nobody else in the room. But there's plants, you know, there's ants in the you know, walls, and every once in a while a squirrel will walk by and stick his nose in the window or something, or a cat. And Prabhupada said, if you chant out loud, it's kirtan. It's kirtan. So I said, why not take it public? And it's catching hold in the places that I've done it. So I'm so glad and so happy that you mentioned that it was nice to hear all of the prayers of Lord Brahma out loud together. Because as I think Vaishyasika Prabhu said earlier, it just exponentially increases the potency and gives us a taste of associating with Srila Prabhupada directly and with these personalities. Because they are different, non-different. We hear how the holy name and Krishna are non-different. All the potencies are there in the sound of the holy name. So, Srila Prabhupada once someone asked Prabhupada, what will happen when you die? They meant, of course, what will happen to your movement, what will happen? And Prabhupada said, I'm not going to die. And from the expression of the person, then he said, I will live in my books. Through my books I will live. He also said, if you want to know me, read my books. So you associate with Prabhupada, and when you associate and vibrate the sound, it increases the visceral experience associating with Prabhupada. And then you do that with others, and when that sound is going in many other people's ears, and there it amplifies, it's like a, you know, the more they're there, the more it's amplified in our own hearts and in others' hearts. So thank you much for that. Hare Krishna.
Can I have a drum? Another reflection is that five prayers, thank you for sharing that. And if you know, but now when you told that a lot of like potency that reciting that five prayers before reading Bhagavatam. So thank you so much for sharing your secrets.
So one point, Kameshwari was saying that the point that stuck to Kameshwari was what Giriraj Maharaj told, that there are no atheists in foxhole, I personally feel my chanting is more intense when I am in this. That's the point she wants to share.
Thank you, Kameshwari. Haribo! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.